Y'all know, for y'all, I am the guy that likes to share a little Constitution stuff, and I have a tendency to be a little on the political side occasionally, but with the things going on in our nation, and you look, and if you turn on radio, TV, if you walk out the door, if you go to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, they had to put a dress code in at Houston. Did y'all see that? Because people were coming practically buck naked. And I mean, you think, if Sodom and Gomorrah were bad, where are we? When you look at the things and the stupidity that goes on among people, and that's in Proverbs 12:1. Okay, if you don't believe stupid's in the Bible, go read there because it's there. It says a man that will not accept correction is stupid. It's evident we have a lot of that taking place out there today. But we wonder sometimes, you know, why? What's going on? You know, well, it's good versus evil. We're into the last days. I think the curtain is coming down. Man, I think that things are happening. And, you know, if you let it, it will disturb you. But I refuse to be disturbed, Howdy. I'm not going to be frustrated about it. Because I'm visiting with a friend of mine the other day, Dennis. We're trying to leave to go to a senior pro rodeo when Dennis shows up, and an hour and a half later, I'm back trying to get things done. And we had a lot of discussions for an hour and a half. And on eschatology, we talked about a lot of stuff. And Dennis, for those that know Dennis McKinley, you don't, when he shows up, Roger, you don't talk, you just listen. And we get there kind of towards the end, and he shared with him. He couldn't remember the man's name. He was one of our great preachers of our time, he said. And he said, I don't remember if the man died and went to heaven or just had a visitation of the Lord, but was taken to heaven. And when he come back, people are asking him, what'd you see? Because his teachings were, you know, Dennis said, one of them guys, like I said, if he could remember his name, would have helped. But he said, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know nothing. He said, it's so overwhelming, and we think we got so many things figured out, interpretations of the word, and we got this right, and we argue over this, and we argue over that. Because there's in Dennis's Bible, I didn't bring that one today, but in his study Bible, there's seven different opinions on eschatology in the back of that Bible, of prominent men of God. And I'm like, the guy said, I don't know nothing. Huh? It's just so, it was Jesse that did it? Yeah. I don't know nothing. You know what? And I had a talk, we were it was a high school rodeo for old folks last week. It was a senior pro rodeo, but I call it the high school rodeo for old folks. And I'm visiting with a friend of mine there talking about some of these things. And I said, look, remember, we're all going to interpret things differently at different times. But the number one thing is our one-on-one, individual, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that is the most important thing to us, then we're gonna walk where we're supposed to walk, and we're going to do what we're supposed to do. When we maintain that relationship and we cultivate that relationship, then it doesn't matter that we disagree about some things. That's okay. Because at certain times in our life, I think certain scriptures apply differently to certain people. They mean different things to us, and we've got to lay aside. That is a distraction the enemy uses to get us off and to start bickering and to cause strife or tension. And where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Y'all, I'm just going with what God, in the car, he started saying, okay, just lay your notes down. I want you to talk to the people. And so I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to read one thing here in just a minute and go, but that's when I walked in, I'm hearing distractions on the way while we're driving this morning. And when I walk in, I've had three different people mention distractions to me. And so we're going to talk about some distractions probably. But we maintain that relationship, and again, we're going to be where we're supposed to be. And we're going to do what we're supposed to be doing, and we're not going to want to judge others for the way they're doing their job. Because we've all got a place in here. You know, in the fivefold ministry, you know, you got your apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if they allow themselves to compliment one another, if we allow ourselves to compliment each other, then we build and add to the kingdom. But when we think our job, the evangelist thinks his job is more important than the pastor, and the pastor thinks he's more important than the apostle, and on down the line, when all those things take place, well, then there's confusion. There's strife. Evil things begin to take place amongst the body. God don't want that. He wants us to be in unity with one another and to just compliment one another. Do your job. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't tell someone else how to do their job. That was one thing I told Troy the other day. He said, you know, I said, I have to be very careful because I'm open to correction. I'm submitted to Corey and others. And I value their speaking into my life. But what I don't, you know, you must weigh things when people speak into your lives. And then, you know, because some people like to just hear themselves talk. Have you noticed that on Facebook? I had my wife take it off my phone. I said, I ain't going there no more. I said, there's too many. I just don't go there no more. I just like, it's just no sense in it. But some people just want to hear themselves talk. And so if you share too much with them, be careful what you share. Don't share everything that's going on in your life with just anybody. It needs to be in confidence with someone that you really trust and know is really being led of the Lord. Because they're going to cause distractions in your life. Because they're going to make you think, well, you're in the wrong spot. When, you know, they probably didn't know what they were doing. How do they know what you're supposed to be doing? I'm fully persuaded of that. It's just because a lot of people love to hear something come out of their mouth. It makes them feel important, like they know something. And I'm not saying they don't know something. It's just that we're too quick to share. We need to ask God first. And if we've asked the Lord, and He has someone share with us, and that's coming from Him, it will confirm what He's sharing with us. But if it's just something being spoken and it creates confusion, throw it out the door. Just get rid of it. Don't even go there with it. Because you need to be hearing, we need to be hearing from God, especially right now. We need to hear what God's got for us and what He wants us to be doing. And it's so important, you know, because I think we got a lot of things ahead. I don't know for how long, but when we allow God to be the Lord of our life, Jackie shared something with the conference, and we're going to say this right quick. Say this with me. I am born of the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm spiritually minded, which is life and peace. Isn't that cool? You need to say that. I've been trying to make sure I'm saying it at least once every day, more than that. You know, when you hit them spots, say, no, I'm led by the Spirit. I'm not going to go by what, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Because y'all know y'all know what I'm saying is the Word, so I'm not going to go to every scripture. But Satan, the enemy, walks about as a roaring lion, making a lot of noise, causing a lot of distractions, seeking whom will listen to that so that he can devour us. And we need to recognize the strategies and deceits of Satan and put a stop to him by speaking the Word of God out of our mouth. Corey's been on, you know, on Psalms there, and the Lord is our shepherd. So we need to listen to the shepherd. He sent us a comforter when he went to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father and said, don't do anything till you receive him. Because that's when the power's coming. That's when the authority. He said, all authority has been given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. He said, you go. This is Matthew 28. He said, you go therefore and make disciples of all men. And so That's what we're supposed to do. We may be going to some of the things he gave me out here. I don't know, but I want to share something out of the Founders Bible, because this is in Deuteronomy 11 is the text of it. But I want to read this whole thing, but it's not that long. Won't take that much. But it's called, the title of this in the Founders Bible. They go through that and then how the founders took and put things and established our Constitution and things. And there's a whole lot of other things in here that took place in the founding of America and all, but this is a commentary on that, what they're talking about. It says, as God's people were preparing to enter the promised land, he told them what they would need to do in the future if they were to hold the land that he had prepared for them. Do y'all believe that God prepared the United States of America for us and to preach the gospel? Yes. Okay, so what they're talking about here, God told them what they needed to do to hold it, to keep it like he put it together. Okay? You shall therefore impress these words. This is Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and that means your daughters too, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land. We can also find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Basically the same, a repeat of here. The recipe for Israel's success, prosperity, and permanence was for adults to fix God's word firmly in their own hearts, and then for them to thoroughly inculcate that word in children, reinforcing over and over through a variety of manners. The biblical directive for the longevity in the land was not lost on America's leaders from the first, for there was a strong emphasis on ensuring that America's youth had an intimate familiarity with God's word. This was evident in America's educational laws, institutions, and textbooks, reflective of this conviction. Founding Father Benjamin Rush wrote an extensive policy paper on why Bible should always remain the textbook for American schools. Dr. Rush, known as the father of public schools under the Constitution, is responsible for starting 5 universities and penning several textbooks. So here's a defense of the use of the Bible as a school book. I promise to give you my reasons for preferring the Bible as a schoolbook to all other compositions. I shall assume the 5 following propositions. That Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and that in proportion as mankind adopts its principles and obey its precepts, they will be wise and happy. That a better knowledge of this religion is to be acquired by reading the Bible than in any other way. That a better knowledge of this religion to be acquired by reading the Bible than in any other way. That the Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present state than any other book in the world. That knowledge is most durable and religious instruction most useful when imparted early in life. That the Bible, when not read in schools, is seldom read in any subsequent period of life. We wonder why we're at. My argument in favor of the use of the Bible as a schoolbook are founded in the constitution of the human mind. The memory is the first faculty which opens in the minds of children. Of how much consequence, then, must it be to impress it with great truths of Christianity before it is preoccupied with less interesting subjects? There is a peculiar aptitude in the minds of children for religious knowledge. Wonder where that came from. I have constantly found them in the first 6 or 7 years of their lives more inquisitive upon religious subjects than upon any others. And an ingenious instructor of youth has informed me that he has found young children more capable of receiving just ideas upon the most difficult tenets of religion than upon most simple branches of human knowledge. It would be strange if it were otherwise, for God creates all his means to suit all his ends. We are subject by a general law in our natures to what is called habit. Now, if the study of the scriptures to be necessary to our happiness at any time of our life, the sooner we begin to read them, the more we shall be attached to them. There is a wonderful property in the memory which enables it in old age to recover the knowledge it had acquired in early life after it had been apparently forgotten for 40 or 50 years. Of how much consequence then must it be to fill the mind with the species of knowledge in childhood and youth, which when recalled in a decline of life will support the soul after under the infirmities of age and smooth the avenues of approaching death. The Bible is the only book which is capable of affording this support to old age, and it is for this reason that we find it resorted to with so much diligence and pleasure by such old people as have read it in early life. Some of us are pretty close, Roger, to some of those things. In contemplating the political institutions of the United States, I lament that we waste so much time and money in punishing crimes and take so little pains to prevent them. We profess to be Republicans, and yet we neglect the only means of establishing and perpetuating our Republican forms of government, that is, the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. For this divine book, all others favors that equality among mankind, that respect for just laws, and all those sober and frugal virtues which constitute the soul of Republicans. And we let one lady take it out of the public schools in 1963. And we've watched the decline from there. But it can come back. It's coming back right now. The Ten Commandments is being placed back in our schools. You know, there's nations, countries all over the world that recognize that the Ten Commandments are just, that's just instructions in how to live a decent life. You know, it's not just about God's laws and morals to everybody. It's God put this out there in order for mankind to survive. You got to have some rules. And he set them up, and for people to come up and say, well, I don't want you impressing that on my kids. I'm like, well, you're stupid. Because if somebody had impressed it upon you, we wouldn't be raising more stupid. I mean, really, come on. I mean, we as a church must step up. You know, and listen, I'm not talking, you know, I'm not into carrying signs on the streets. But listen, guys, if we just can be diligent in our area of influence, of when we hear somebody, if we get it, we educate ourselves, cultivate the knowledge of knowing where this nation came from and how God established it. Because as we do that, we're planting seeds, and I don't believe all those people out there are stupid. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, there's some that are demonically possessed. Those are stupid. I really do. I believe there's several of them demonically possessed now, not just influenced, that are sitting in seats of authority in our nation. And so, you know, I've had some Christians tell me, I didn't talk to that many people, have that many share it with me, but some that told me they weren't going to vote, and I'm like, you're stupid too. I wanted to tell them that, but I can't tolerate that. You know, that would they let someone come break into their home and steal or kill their kids? Well, that's just exactly what we're doing when we don't vote. We got to encourage people to take part, to vote. We got to take an active part. God told us to occupy. He said, you bring my kingdom from heaven to earth. So, if he said for us to do that, then we're supposed to do it. Y'all okay? Oh, I want to share something. I probably have shared this other before, but I want to get off the Constitutional Bible and get into some other thing. But I think some of you will be shocked at this one here. It's called The Heart of Higher Learning, and I'm not going to read all of this. It's long. But I want to give you first just a little introduction to the Ivy League schools of America, which today look pretty putrid, don't they? They're sick. They're full of sick people. So think about this. We got churches that are full of some people that are not preaching the word. And we need to pray that those pastors, we need to be praying for those pastors. Some of them only pastoring because it looked like an easy way to make a living. And they need to be out. Some of them have just been deceived from circumstances and situations and have strayed. And they're probably really anointed and appointed to be there, but they need to come back and repent and get back where being on the Word of God. But I want to share, I just say this is long and it covers all of those. We're talking. America's first school of higher education started in Henrico, Virginia in 1620, but was wiped out by an Indian massacre in 1622. The second and the first to survive was Harvard College. Chartered in 1636, its rules set forth what expected of every student seeking a higher degree at the premier institution. Now let me kind of, these are tuitional colleges. Is that correct, Roger? These are tuitional colleges, not state-run colleges. It's tuition, okay? You went there, you paid a privilege to go there, basically. Isn't that what that really means? Okay. So, they made their rules. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. This is Harvard. And therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom is the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only give us wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it out of him. Proverbs 2:3. Everyone shall show exercise himself in reading the scripture twice a day, that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein. That's what Harvard was established on. And as we go down through the list, so firmly was Harvard dedicated to this goal that its two mottos were for the glory of Christ and for Christ in the church. Reckon they got that today? So we can go all through. We got William Mary, we got Yale, we got Dartmouth, Columbia. All of those, the same principles that Harvard set forth, they had rules. I mean, they had to be able to interpret from English to the Greek, twice a day. They had to go to church. They had to study the Word. They had to do all of those things. And that was our Ivy League schools that Satan has managed to pervert. But you know what? If we hadn't allowed those things to begin to take place in our own public school system, then we wouldn't be in that situation at those colleges. We could still have that. But listen, we got to remember, we're in the last days. The enemy, Satan knows, just like right there when they crucified Jesus, right at that time. I mean, look at the things that went on. And so it's going to intensify, but we can't be distracted by the things that are going on and get off of the Word of God. We've got to set ourselves in a position to walk in His peace, which passes all understanding. To make my mind up that, you know, I can only do so much. Each one of us has a part to play. And if we'll be diligent and apply and do what God's called us to do, He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And don't be distracted. The last comment on that, and I'm going to go to some other. In fact, this was 1870. Higher education in the United States before 1870 was provided very largely in the tuitional colleges of the different religious denominations rather than by the state. Of the 246 colleges founded by the close of the year 1860, only 17 were state institutions. In fact, in that year, 262 of 288 college presidents were ministers of the gospel. We've changed a lot. But I think that we're in the midst. I thank God every day for the awakening that's taking place in this nation. We got people waking up. You know, I mean, it's just kind of a, you know, we're not as loud. I mean, we don't have to be as loud from the standpoint of, you know, in Colossians it tells us that Jesus took authority over the principalities and powers. He disarmed, made a public spectacle of them, and triumphed over them. Colossians chapter 3 or something right there. And he said, we're to enforce that disarmament. We declare that. We speak to it. We bind those principalities and powers that are in those places and render them harmless and effective against us, our families, our nation. We need to do that verbally, out loud. Bind the principalities and powers. That's part of the way, God's way of doing things. As we stated, the angels hearken diligently, Psalms 103, the angels hearken unto His word. And so when we speak His word in defense and on behalf of the gospel, not in defense of the gospel, but on behalf of the gospel, when we bind the principalities and powers, those angels are obligated to go to work. And that's just God's system of how it is. And now, distractions keep us from doing those things. We get so distracted. Oh, turn to Job, chapter 22. When you're there, shout amen or something. Come on, y'all got loud just to there. Say amen. We need to get pumped up. You know, Ricky last week, I mean, I thought he was going to fly. I think that was adrenaline, but flowing the night before, whatever. But we need to encourage ourselves. We need, you know, David encouraged himself when they'd taken everything. They come back from the battle and their family and all these things are gone. So what did David do? He encouraged himself and they put together 300 men? Isn't that right? And they go back and get it all back. I got news for you. Everyone ain't going to join in the fight. So we better ourselves be sure we join in. We've got to encourage ourselves and make up our mind. I'm not yielding any ground to the enemy concerning my nation, my kids, my grandkids, my wife, my family, my finances, my health. I'm not yielding ground there. God's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him in 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to understand who we are. We got to make up our mind. This is our place. Jesus said, I have assumed the authority back here. You know, Satan thinks he's still in authority and he's running rampant and he's got a lot of people convinced in the church that I can't do nothing about it. Well, then go somewhere else and sit on the sidelines and get out of our way. The title of this message is Get Out of the Way. We need some people to get out of the way if they're not going to get in the hunt. We need to take. We got to make our minds. I'm either. You know, I don't want to have to get out of the way. I want to be in the battle. And so we need to accept, Lord. What's my part in the battle? What do I do? For y'all in Job now, 22:21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good comes to you. Receive, please, instructions from his mouth. Keep your words, his words laid up in your heart. Return to him and you will be built up. You will remove all iniquity far away from you. Drop to verse 26. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift your face up to God and you will make your prayer to him. He will hear you and you will pay your vows. You will declare a thing and it will be established for you and light will shine on all your ways. Man, I claim that every day. Every morning, I say, Lord, I'm going to keep myself acquainted with you today. I'm going to stay in constant conversation with you today. And I figure light's shining on all my ways, and I'm going to have fun in what I do. Because I think God wants us to. You know, if you're having fun doing what you're doing, you're winning. When you're winning, you're having fun. It's just, I mean, that's just, you know, and not to say that, you know, it takes a lot of practice to get there. And so we got to dedicate ourselves to practice of being in the Word, being start, you know, at my favorite song probably that Corey, well, just one of my favorite songs, In the Morning, Give Me Jesus. Man, when I get up, I want my orders. I figure he's my boss. And if you ain't decided he's your boss, you better decide he's your boss. Because if you'll go to him in the morning Just like, you know, I mean, some of you probably have jobs where you go somewhere and they tell you where I want you to go today or what I want you to do. Well, start with Jesus. Amen. So that your days are planned for. You know, he said, he told us in Psalms 139, I wrote these days down for you before I even formed you in your mother's womb. I have some really good days planned for you. And if you're willing to seek me first and do it my way, even when they're tough days, you can endure them because I've given you what it takes. I've put in your heart, I've put in your spirit, I've put in there what you need to accomplish what I have for you to accomplish. But I got to make up my mind. I will not be distracted. And there's so many distractions. Somebody give me an example, something that distracts. Sharon, what distracts you? What's one of the things that just gets under your skin or distracts you?
People that don't do what they say.
There you go. And so someone that we've counted on doing something they told us they were going to do, and then they don't show up. They don't do it. They don't show up. They don't call and say, hey, I can't be there. And you're waiting on them. And the first thing you know, your skin's crawling. Well, that sorry son of a buck. Come on, you're thinking it. I mean, you know, you want to call them and say, let me just tell you something. Well, just ignore it. Because that's the enemy uses that to steal your peace. It's okay. God will send me by somebody else, or he'll show me how to get it done by myself. I don't need them anyway. Lord, help them learn to be, honor their word, and to be honorable. And then leave it alone. Go on, leave it alone. Just get out of there. Because if you allow it to continue to distract you, it festers. You know, when something starts festering, then it grows. And pretty soon, you're so mad at them, you don't even want to see them. And then we need to learn not to be that way. You know, I mean, things happen. I mean, life happens, you know. But there's so many distractions. You know, I mean, one of the kids, that, you know, your kids, your children, your dog. You know, I rope a lot. Me and Kathy, Rob, you know, we don't have near the horse we used to have and do the things we used to do. But, you know, there's nothing worse than when a horse is capable of doing something and they're just bowed up not doing it. And you're trying to figure out, you know, I mean, we spend so much. You take them to the, okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's see if you're hurting somewhere. Well, you ain't hurting, so something else is going to happen here. But you get so distracted and so caught up in all those things. If we don't give Jesus that first in the morning, give me Jesus. Because he wrote my days down for me. And they're good days. And I'm going to tell you what. Me and Kathy, we are experiencing the good days that we planted seeds for a long time ago. That we cast some bread on the water a long time ago. And I will tell you. Sometimes, Don, I thought, it ain't coming back. I just want a piece of bread back. I don't even need the whole loaf. I just want a piece back at the moment. But no, we're experiencing super abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's all, God gets all the glory because he taught us how to be diligent. He showed us. He surrounded us with people. Man, thank God for the divine appointments and relationships in your life that are trying to encourage you to be diligent. Don't back down. Don't give up. Thank God for Corey every week reminding you, don't back down. Get up in the morning. Spend the time with Jesus. Get that word coming out of your mouth to where throughout the day, the word rises up to take authority over those situations and circumstances that are trying to steal your joy, your peace, your money, your health. They're just distractions. And they frustrate you. I mean, Howdy had to put up with several distractions this week. He's having to sit in the scale house, weigh trucks of drivers that fall asleep in the truck, that won't pull off the scales until Howdy has to get out, walk all the way around, knock on the window and say, get your butt off the scale. We got 75 trucks lined up here trying to load sand.
Oh, yeah. Let me take my paperwork in the office.
You know what all that stems from? Back there, when we didn't teach people in school how to be to do things. They got no pride. They got no, you know, no self-respect. They don't know to do a good job for someone, to honor, to be honorable in what they tell someone or what they hired on to do. Don't be one of those people. We're to do our work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now I know most of them probably aren't saved and they don't know that. But there's a lot in the body of Christ, and those people really frustrate you. They will really get under your skin when they know better. You see, that's stupidity, knowing better and not doing it. Ignorance is not knowing. I had a guy clear me up one night on Bible study at that hex, and I was talking about stupid, and he said, those people aren't stupid, Rusty. They don't know better. He said, stupid people know better and don't do the right thing. So I have to be real careful on how I approach that. And y'all ought to be careful too, because we don't want to, we want to help them. Because we don't want to raise no more of them. It's just, it gets very frustrating. But the word today coming here, God says, remind them, don't let these distractions steal your joy and your peace. Because when it does, we don't think clearly. And we need to think really clearly right now. We need to be available. We need, you know, we just need to be able to think and say, God, I'm walking by the, I am filled with the Spirit. I'm walking by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I have the mind of Christ, and I'm holding the thoughts, intents, and purposes of His heart. And I'm going to be a doer of Your Word. Because You put me here to help enlarge Your kingdom. Right quick, turn to Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to highlight a few little things in there, and then I'm gonna quit. You know, this was my whole message right here, and we got 13 minutes to get through however long that was supposed to take, and I promise I'm not going to go over. I want to highlight some things, just share some things with you. Starting verse 18, Matthew 28, and Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now just to highlight something right there. If we had maintained our public school system and allowed those universities, God set them up to make disciples of all men. That's what I see there. I see he put people putting this nation together, like Benjamin Rush and several others, lots of them, that knew what it would take to disciple all men. They were being doers of the word. They put universities and school systems together to help disciple all men and teach them what Jesus had taught them. We have the opportunity to take these things back. It's going to be, I mean, it takes some effort. It's going to take some prayer. And just, you know, I think when you can really get that picture across to people out there in the world today that their distractions are their boat, their hunting lease, you know, their golf clubs, that over, you know, listen, none of those are bad things. God gave us all those things to enjoy, but they become distractions when they take up our time with Jesus. And me and you got plenty of those things in our life, I'm going to guarantee you. We got lawnmowers and tractors and horses, and we got a lot of things that are a lot of fun that sometimes we think, that's my only reason. And some days, I'm going to tell you what, I can just like spit the bit and say, okay, Lord, I'm going here, I'm just going to go roping. I'm not messing with these people. And I don't rope very good that day. And you know, all God has a way of bringing you back. You know, the humbling thing there. Okay? So I recognize that as those institutions as being a direct, you know, deal that the founding fathers recognized right there in Matthew 28. You know, here's an avenue to help make disciples of all men. And when we get people understanding what's taking place, just it doesn't have to be loud and rude and abusive, but we walk in there with boldness and just share with them, hey, looky here. Here's the evidence. Share the evidence. I'll read a little commentary right there on Matthew 28:18-20. There are some things that all believers have in common as God's will for their lives. Love, work, share, give, learn, serve, go, include, forgive, solve, encourage, love God. Show God's kind of love to people. When we do these things, we're contributing to the main goal of God's people on earth, to bring more people into the family of God. The Great Commission is Jesus' final instruction to disciples, given as he left earth to ascend to heaven. Make disciples, baptize, and teach. Jesus gave this command with all authority. The full weight of God's holy will is behind this divine requirement. So he's equipped us to get it done. He also promised that he would be with us. The task is monumental, but we're not in it alone. Through the Spirit of Spirit's presence and gifts, God's people are empowered to accomplish anything that's required to grow Jesus' kingdom. We can rescue a lot of people in the next several years, however much time we got. We're like a great army, many members, many people, many feet on the ground, many hands for the battle, but we have one united goal: be a living, breathing witness of Christ likeness everywhere we go. Live in the image of God. You can be sure that God's will for your life will harmonize with his will for all of us. Our goal is the same as everyone who has ever believed in God through faith, and make him known. Isn't that cool? I mean, I don't know. I'm really glad I listened to him today and just talked. I just want to encourage. We just need encouragement. We need to encourage one another and remind one another. You know, look, man, this is what we got to do. You know, and days on the job will go better. I don't know if you're going to get smarter truck drivers, but at least. But all those things we're surrounded with that distract us, we need to just remember we're overcomers, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so when we say, no, I'm not receiving that distraction, it's not going to steal my peace, not going to steal my joy, and learn to just stop and slow down and say, hey, man, I know that God fashioned my days for me, and I'm going to fill those days. And even when they're tough days, they're still going to wind up being fun because he fashioned them. They're going to be productive. They're going to be fun. They're going to be fruitful. And I'm going to experience a lot more peace. So, hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you got distractions in your life that have hindered you from allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Every one of us had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But for all the believers in here, we've repented, asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life, and turned things over to him and let him lead us. Come in our hearts and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Save us. So when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're giving our life to Jesus. And if you've never done that, and we want to encourage you today, we don't want anyone leaving here. God desires no man perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there is no way to God but except through Jesus. You got to acknowledge Jesus. So if that's you today and you've never done that, we're all going to pray a prayer together. And we're just going to ask you, if God's pulling on your heart, pray that prayer with us today. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. We're just all going to pray it out loud together and invite you to accept Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. So everyone say this with me. Father God, thank you today for sending Jesus for me. I believe, Lord Jesus, in my heart that God raised you from the dead, so that you died for me. So I'm confessing with my mouth that you're my Lord. I ask you to come into my heart, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, save me, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and now I can see the days you fashioned for me before you formed me in my mother's womb, and I receive that in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today you prayed that prayer, you made Jesus the Lord of your life in a minute, all I'm going to do, I'm not going to embarrass you, I just want you to raise your hand so we can get you a Bible. So I'm going to ask you on the count of three to raise your hand, and we'll get you a Bible. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Man, I believe then everybody here is declaring that they're saved and they know Jesus, and that's a good thing, and it's a great thing. And hey, y'all, it was just fun today. It wasn't another dead church service. Corey won't allow us to have one of those, so I'll do my best to make sure I don't cause one. And so, thank y'all for just taking part, and thank you for just fulfilling what God's called you to do and being excited about it. It's all yours, Hattie.